His wife's there. Yeah, in somebody's house. No. Okay, we're on page 60. Learning the four kings versus the five kings today. Okay, page 60, Perikir Dalet Revi. It's Revi in the Parsha Pasuk Aleph. Okay, so it was like this. The whole question is, we'll soon see when this whole story happened. But this is a famous, let's learn a little bit of the story and then we'll discuss who, what, when, where. Rahibi Mei Amraphel was in the days of Amraphel, the king of Shinar. Shinar is, Shinar is Babylon, by the way. Amraphel was Nimrod. By the way, Amraphel, his real name is Nimrod, but he was called also Amraphel. In fact, we'll see, there's an argument in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel. What was his real name? Was his real name Nimrod and he was nicknamed Amraphel, or was his real name Amraphel and he was nicknamed Nimrod? That was in the days of Amraphel. Nimrod was the king of Babel. Ayyach Melech Alasar. Ayyach, the king of Alasar. According to the Medrash, this refers to Greece. The king of Greece. Kedola Omer Melech Elam. Kedola Omer, the king of Elam. And according to many opinions, Elam was the son of Shem. Shem's son, you know, Noach's son Shem, his son was this guy, Kedola Omer. V'sidon Melech Goyim. And Goyim was the people that lived there. Some people say that it was a place where a lot of nations gathered. They just, it was like a melting pot for a lot of nations that came to live in that city. Okay, so these four kings. Asu Milchama, they made a war with Bera Melech Zdain, Bera the king of Zdain. Okay, now, who was Bela? Or Birsha, Bela says, Rashi says, Beis Ra.
Okay.
He was bad two ways, between man and God. He was bad, Beis Ra. Birsha is also Beis Rasha. He was double wicked, between man and God. This is Melech HaMeir, the king of Mer, that's Dorman Gemara. Shinov Melech Admor. Okay, Shinov, the king of Admor. Okay, who was these guys? Shinar, because he hated his father in heaven. If you see, Shinar is two words. Sinar Av. He hated God in heaven. Shem Eve Melech Tzvayim. Shem Eve, he made himself wings by flapping them in rebellion against God. Umelech Bela, he Tzayad, and the king of Bela, who was Tzayad. Rashi says Bela was the name of a city. That means, according to Rashi, Bela is not his name. Melech Bela means the king of the city of Bela. The Torah doesn't say his name. And the commentaries explain, why doesn't the Torah say his name? Because it was a very small kingdom. And therefore, he wasn't a prominent king, so the Torah didn't say his name.
Zohar is not his name?
Huh?
Zohar?
What do you have Zohar?
It says, king of Bela, which is Zohar, you know.
Zohar. Sohar.
Could that be his name?
Ramban says, no, it's a very small thing. And then Ramban says, because it was such a small country, he didn't have a name. He wasn't prominent enough to have a name. Page 61 that we're up to.
Not prominent enough to have his name mentioned.
Yeah, he wasn't prominent enough to have his name mentioned. Okay? Now, this story happened like this. What happened? The pasuk is continue like this. They worked, they served Kedolaimer for 12 years. 13 years, the pasuk is going to say they rebelled. And then they had a war in the 14th year. Okay? Perik Yudalid. Okay. Now the story over here is like this. This is 28 years, just to get to a chronological order, that the Midrashim say over here, the four kings with the five kings. When did this happen? It happened 28, you know, when they made this tower to go fight God, and then God dispersed them among all the 70 nations, right? The 70 languages. So it says, this was 28 years after that story. 28 years after the story, Nimrod only ruled Amraphel. Like we said, Amraphel is Nimrod. Melech Shinar, who was the king of Bavel. Shinar is Bavel. Okay? So Nimrod, who was the most powerful king originally, like possibly he was Gibber Tzayed, you know, he was super powerful. He was the one that threw Avraham Avinu into the furnace. He's the one that Esav killed the day, Avraham Avinu died, and the whole soup, the lentil soup and that whole stuff. Okay, so, Kedorlaomer built an empire, okay, and including Zedim and Amora, and he made everybody pay taxes to him. He was a very powerful king, he made a thing. Peace didn't last long, because they rebelled for 13 years. Now, in the 14th year, Kedorlaomer and all the kings, they didn't go straight to Zedim, they went to fight all these nations, okay? Now, not only that, they say the kings were killed very quickly. The four kings against the five kings. So even though there are five versus four, the four kings were stronger than the five because it was Nimrod, Kedorlaomer. There were much stronger kings than the five kings. Okay. By the way, we're going to see soon. You know Eliezer, Avram's servant. The Targum Yenison Ben Oziel says he was Nimrod's son. Wow. Interesting. Wow. Eliezer was Nimrod's son.
Well, he was a Cushi, so he was.
Yeah, but he went to fight his own father.
But he was from Syria.
Huh?
Canaan.
No, he's from
Iran.
Cush. No,
it wasn't Cush.
Nimrod came from Cush.
Nimrod was Babel.
Right, but he was.
Okay, we'll see when we get to the Eliezer, the story over here. Okay, so this is the four keys. So this is when it happened. Now, what's interesting, there's another thing here, how old Avraham Avinu was when this whole story happened. Okay, now, before this, there was a fight between Nimrod, Amraphel, who's Nimrod, and Kedorlaomer. There were two powerful kings. Kedorlaomer won the battle against Nimrod. Okay, he emerged victorious, and he made alliance with Nimrod and the other kings to rule over the whole world, with Kedorlaomer as the main king. He was the main king. Okay? Now, it also discusses here how old I'm... Okay, but let's see the story. They all gathered. They gathered at Ein Mekasidim to fight. Now, officially what they did, why did they meet there? The pasuk says, Chavru al Eimek Hasidim. So the commentators, like Abarbanel, Sipurna, Seder Elam, say, they met there to make peace. Chavru means Chaver. They actually met there not for war. They met there to make peace. But it didn't work out. So because it didn't work out, now they made a war. They ended up fighting each other. Okay, why was it called Eimek Hasidim? Rashi brings down from the Medrash because there were a lot of fields, Sada. Sidim is plural of field. There were a lot of fields in that area. And where was it? Hu Yam HaMelech. So this is where Yam HaMelech is. Okay, the Dead Sea. This is, so if you go in Israel to the Dead Sea, that's approximately where they fought. This historic war, thousands of years earlier, was where the Dead Sea is today. Around that area is where they fought.
It used to be Zidon. Hashem turned it over, it became the Dead Sea.
Well, eventually, like that.
It's near.
Oh, you look at the map.
Zidon was, yeah.
Before there was no Dead Sea, and then later map, there's a Dead Sea there. That's from Zidon.
Okay, next. Shtei Mesrei Shano Avdos Kedorlaomer, 12 years, All these kings served Kedolei Mimini. They passed. They paid them taxes and everything. And 13 years they rebelled. It's interesting. There's another year, another opinion, like Targum Yenison, Ibn Ezra Radak. Rashi says Shleisha Seishana Maradu means they rebelled for 13 years. The other commentaries say no. In the 13th year they rebelled. See, Rashi says they were subjugated for 12 years and then they rebelled for 13. Other Mefarshim learn no. 12 years they were subjugated to him. In the 13th year they rebelled. Mm-hmm. So they only rebelled for 1 year, not for 13 years. Rashi says they actually rebelled for 13 years. That's what Rashi says. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they rebelled either in the 13th year or for 13 years. Okay? So what happened? So, now in the 14th year, or 14th year from the rebellion of 13 years, came with the kings with him. They struck the Rephoim. Now who were the Rephoim? They were the giants. Earlier in Chumash, the Torah says in Parshas Ne'er about the Rephoim that they were actually giants. And they conquered the giants in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. But Ashtres Kanayim in Ashtres Kanayim, Vesazuzim Baham and the Zuzim. It's also a nation, or Zamzumin, the same thing. The ones that were in Baham, the other ones in the Amim in the Shavik Kiryasayim. These are all names of places. Okay, so they actually went around the whole country fighting. This is from the north to the south. They actually went and because these were the kings that were ruling Israel at the time, the land of Canaan. And Kedolaimer with the four kings that were with him went and crushed the rebellion and they conquered all of them. Asacheri Baharam Seir and the nation of Chayrit and the Mount Seir, Ba'ad El Paran all the way to El Paran, which was in the Midbar. So they actually did a pretty good job. The whole mountain regions in the Dead Sea, southward toward the Gulf of Aqaba, then it was the north they went to, with a lot of different places where they went. Some people say El Paran is where Eilat is today. El Paran, they actually say, is Eilat. Okay, by Yeshuvo, and they returned. By Averil in Mishpat.
They didn't conquer Abraham's area where he lived, though.
No. No.
Okay.
No, but as the Mefarshim say, Vayeshuvu, they turned back to go north. Until now they were fighting south. Then they turned to go fight north to conquer, and they wanted to conquer everybody. Mm-hmm. But they stopped again and conquered all the thing. Vayevel a Mishpat, he Kaddish. They came to the a Mishpat, which is Kaddish. Okay, anticipation of future events, that's what it's called later. He Kadesh Vayaku, and they smote, it's called Steo Amaleki, all the territory of the Amaleks, Vegamasu Ameri, Ayeshi, Bechatzeis, and Tamar. Okay, so basically the bottom line is, the four kings went, crushed the rebellion of the five kings, and then they just kept on going, taking control over the whole place. Okay? Now, even though Amalek wasn't born yet, Amalek is a descendant of Esav. So how can they kill the nations of Amalek? So the Mefarshim explain, it's called on the future. Many times, remember we said that in our Parazim, before we learned in Chumash also, they called names, the Torah calls the names of the future places that we're acquainted with. Shechem. No, we said Shechem. Shechem wasn't born. What?
Har-Cheirev.
And all those things.
No, Yom-Melech.
Yeah, whatever. Then they didn't have those names. It could be if they had a name, but that's it. It was full of soul. Maybe they did. I don't know.
Doesn't Rashi say it's also on the Osid? Emek Asidim.
It's Emek Asidim. Okay.
See, wasn't that doing?
Who Yom HaMelech?
Okay. Now, so what happened? So they killed all the kings. So they came to fight. Vayetzim melech zdeim, melech hamedo, melech admo, melech tzvayim, melech beli tzayad. Again, all these four kings against the five kings, right? Melech zdeim, all these five nations. And they made a fight with them in Emek Hasidim. So the five kings went to fight the four kings that they rebelled against. And the Torah says again, who were they? Here, by the way, the Torah changes the order. Okay? Over here, the Torah starts Amraphel, and then Kedolaimer. Here the Torah says Kedolaimer first, because he was the most powerful guy. Ve'emek HaSidim, in the Valley of Sidim, Ba'areis Chemer, were full of bitumen wells, meaning wells that were just hanging all over the place. They didn't, it was a dangerous place, because you didn't know where you're walking. You're walking, you could fall into a well. Okay? Dotted with wells, which slime was taken for buildings and everything. So what happened? The king of Zdeim, the king of Amedah they fled away from these kings, and they fell into these wells. Okay? But for a reason, the king of Zdeim was miraculously saved. He was the only one that was saved from all these kings. And we'll see later, it's going to say why. Okay. Now, the place, Rashi says, from the Medrash, the place was so swampy. You know, swamp is, it's impossible to get out of it. The miracle, even though, okay, why did Hashem save the king of Zdeim? Because Zdeim later became very bad. Okay, but Melech Zdeim, when they threw Avram into the fire, Nimrei threw Avram into the fire, he came out alive. The king of Zdeim, the Medrash says, was the only one that recognized this as a miracle. So because he recognized the miracle that God did, so therefore Hashem saved him. Okay? Ramban says that the interpreter, the king of Zdeim, went out to meet him. He went out from the well when Avram passed it, he walked out of the well miraculously. You can see that the king of Zdeim came to Avram. He said the king of Zdeim wasn't able to go out of the slime stuff, the swampy stuff. Avram walked by, Avram miraculously got him out. Because he recognized, like it says, the miracle that happened. Okay. Bani Shorim and the rest of them, Harun Nosu, ran away to the mountains. Okay, if you didn't fall into the pits, they actually just fell away. Okay. So it says like this. They fell there. That refers to all the kings. Bani Shorim and the rest of the army, not the kings, they ran away to the mountains. Vagichu is called a chush. I mean, I want to learn these psukim that discuss the whole miracle that happened over here. They took all the wealth of Zdeim and Ameda, all their provisions, and they left. These four kings conquered everybody, and they took all the everything from the cities, all the wealth. Not only that, they captured Lot, Avram's nephew, and they left. V'hu yeshev b'Zdeim, which is a funny thing. He says, "V'hu yeshev b'Zdeim." Why does it say "V'hu yeshev b'Zdeim"? Meaning, why did this happen to Lot? Because he ran to Zdeim. Because he associated with wicked people of Zdeim, he deserved to be captured by it. Okay. Okay, so now the Medrash HaGadol says, when they captured Lot, they put him in a cage, and they marched around and boasted, "We captured Avram's nephew." This proved that they had come only because of him. In other words, they conquered. It was a miracle that they did. Basically, the Mepharshim said like this. Why did they want to capture Lot? The Medrash says like this. The kings knew that if Lot was conquered, Avram was going to come and save him. They knew that because Avram promised Lot, "I'm going to be next to you. Whatever happens to you, I'm still your, you know, brother and all of her, uncle, whatever you want to call it." So they knew that by conquering Lot, Avram's going to come and fight. And they were super powerful. They just beat all these kings. So they knew they were going to conquer Avram. And that's why they captured Lot. That's why it says, Ben Achi Avram. Everybody knows who Lot is. Why is the Torah telling us his nephew? Wasn't there times they captured Lot, Avram's nephew? We know he's his nephew. We had a few before. We know he's his nephew. Because the reason they captured him was to get Avram to come, and they wanted to capture Avram. That's what they wanted to do. So therefore, either, as the Mepharshim say, either they wanted to kill Avram, or they knew they were going to get a very big ransom from Avram for Lot. So they captured Lot because he's Avram's nephew. Either because they wanted to kill him, and, okay. Okay. The Yavi HaPolit, the refugee came. Now who's the refugee? So Rashi says the refugee was Eig. Okay, Eig Melech HaBashim. Rashi says, Levi Pshutei Ze'eg, who was saved from the battle.
From the battle or from the flood?
No. Rashi says, Shiniflet Min HaMochama. Then they says, Tanchuma. Rashi says two things. First thing Rashi says in Pshat, who's the Paul of the refugee? Refugee from where? From the war. That's simply what it means. The refugee, whoever is saved from the war, what came to Tel Aviv. Rashi says, it actually is Oig. Why? He was saved from the Mabul. Okay, now, why did Oig come to tell Avram that Lot was captured? It's not because he loved Avram. He thought Avram's going to go fight, Avram's going to get killed, and he'll marry Sarah. She's a very beautiful woman. So he said, okay, let me get him killed. Everybody was for their own interests over here. Melech's, the four kings had their interests, and Eig had his interest. He wanted to marry Sarah, so he said, let me get Avram killed. So he said to Avram, go. Okay, so he says, Eig Melech HaBashan, now, why was he called Eig? Interesting thing. The Medrash says, it says in the Medrash like this. When Avram Avinu, when he came to Avram now, he saw him baking ugois. Remember he told Sarah to bake ugois matzis?
Yeah.
Bake ugois. Lushivasi ugois. Now, Avram Avinu is close to Pesach time. So he saw him baking ugois, round matzah. Uga means circle, right? Uga is also round cakes. So he's baking, So he laughed and he said, was he crazy doing this thing? So he ridiculed him by calling him Eig. That's how he got, that's what Medrash says, that's how he got the name Eig. Because he watched Avram, his name was severely somebody else. Just like, by the way, how do we know his name was something else? Because later on in Chumash, in Chayisara, after Eliezer found the Shidduch Rivka for Yitzchak, Avram freed him. And he became Eig Melech HaBashan.
Eliezer?
Eliezer. the Mikra is Gedolus Chumash. The Daskin Melatesis over there in Chayesara comes down that he became Eig Melech HaBoshim. So he asks, Daskin Melatesis, Eig Aliyazim was a Tzaddik and Eig Melech HaBoshim was a Rasha. And how can you say it's the same guy? So he says, just like all the kings of Mitzrayim were called Parei, all the kings of Bashan were called Eig. That was the... Because it wasn't the same Parei. They took the name Parei. All the kings of Egypt took the name Parei. All the kings of Bashan took Eig. Some of them were good, some of them were bad. But it wasn't this Eig Melech HaBashan that Avraham Avinu killed.
It's another Eig.
Yeah, in between, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So Moshe that killed him. So Moshe killed Oak.
Yeah, the bad Oak. The giant.
But yep. But Abraham didn't kill this Oak.
No, this was a servant. After Avraham freed him, after he brought this
one. No, that's after, but I mean, this after battle took place, there was another Oak.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oak came in, that wasn't the Eliezer.
By the way, the Musa people explained that in reality, his mission was a good mission, to tell Avram that Lot was conquered. His intent was bad. But his mission was good. And that because of that, he was rewarded. So the Musa people say that, can you imagine, a person with bad intent, but the action was good, he's rewarded. Can you imagine how great the reward is for a person whose intent is good, the kavana is good, and the action is good? For sure he's going to get a great reward.
But that doesn't mean it.
Okay, now it says like this.
Og lived a long time all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu's time.
Yeah. The question is, that's the same Og?
So if it's not the same Og, then...
Okay, Eliezer, so the question is, is he, isn't he?
So Eliezer lived that long also? Is he after him, to be Og after him, or what?
It wasn't that long.
At the same time.
Well, it was...
could have been many Ogs between then and Moshe Rabbeinu.
No, but it was one King Parah at a time, one King Og at a time, no?
Yeah, but this Og in the battle could have died a couple years later, and then Eliezer became a king, and...
No, but this bad Og, Moshe Rabbeinu killed, so he lived for, like,
seven
generations.
Og. Different Og.
It was like 1,000 years. He was by Noach. All the way to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Later on, in the end of Parshas Chukos, when Moshe Rabbeinu killed Sichon and Og, so Sichon, it doesn't... if Hashem told him to kill Sichon, he killed him. Then by Og, Hashem told him to kill Og. So it says, Hashem said to him, Al Tira, don't be afraid of Og. So Rashi over there says, why was he afraid of Og? Avraham Avinu thought, maybe the Kavana, I mean, the fact that he saved Lot and Avraham, that whole thing, maybe that would... may have schus for him. So Hashem said, Al Tira, I say, I'm going to give him to your hand. But they say, this is interesting, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid to fight Og because he had a schus that he came to tell Avram Lot was captured. Even though his intent of it was that Avram should die. Nevertheless, action was... Look at, there was this Eglin Melech Moav. Yeah? Very big in fact. When Ehud ben Gera was told to kill him, yeah, Hashem told the Navi, the Shefet, Ehud ben Gera, to go kill Eglin, Melech Meir. Yeah, so when he said I have a mess, but he was very fat, so I was going to kill him. So he had to get him to stand. So how did he get him to stand? He said, I have a message from you from Hashem. So out of respect, he stood up, and then he killed him. Yeah? So the Medrash says, it's a famous Medrash, in the merit that this guy, who had to be killed because he was evil, stood up because there was a message coming from Hashem, and he stood up, he merited, Ruth was his descendant, David HaMelech was his descendant, and Mashiach his descendant. Why did this guy this wicked king who had to be killed, why did he marry it, that he was the ancestor of Rus, and therefore David HaMelech HaMashiach and everything? Because he did one good act, he stood up for a message from Hashem. No, I mean, to think about it, it's a tremendous merit that Rus David HaMashiach comes to me. But the Pasuk, by the way, doesn't say what he told him. What did the Pasuk say? He said, Vayagid Le'avon Ma'ivri, Vu Sheikhim Beleini Mamre, Amiri, Achi Eshka V'Achi Ano, Ve'em Bali Bris Avram. So the Pasuk doesn't say even what he told him. But from the next Pasuk, that Avram heard that his nephew was captured, the Torah implies what he told him. He told him that there was a battle, four kings against the five kings, and that's what happened.
As he told Avram, but he told him everything that happened.
Told
Avram what happened.
Right.
When Avram heard this,
Okay, now, why was Avram called Ivri? Avram Ivri. This is the first place, by the way, he's called openly Ivri. Okay? So number one, unfortunately, say because he came from Eved HaNohar. Came from the Eved side of the river. Another reason brought down, the Medrash says, because Avram Avinu was on one side, the whole world was against Avram Avinu. So the world was on one side, and he was on the other side. Avram Ivri. He was killed because he came from Eved, he came across the river, and okay. So what happened like this? Yishma Avram ki nishba achiv. Let's learn a few psukim, talk to us about this story. It's very interesting. Avram heard that his nephew was captured. Okay, his brother. Vayog es chanichav. He armed his despised disciples. Yilidei beis et shmeina asa shtoi shmeyers. 318. Vayidei fadon and ran all the way to Don. Now, who this 318 was? Simply, it means he gathered 318 household members. Another interpretation is, Chanichav is, by the way, Chanichav literally means in English, his disciples. Chanichav comes from the word chinuch, the ones he raised, the ones he took. Okay. What happened was, Eliezer equals 318. So there's two opinions what happened. Some people say he actually took 318 people. And by the way, the commentators explain, they're not contradictory. He took 318 people. He also took Eliezer, but they didn't do anything. Eliezer, which numerically equals 318, right, is the one that actually won the war. And we said that who was Eliezer? Now just think about this now. Eliezer was Nimrod's son. Targ Yonason ben Aziel says he was Amraphel's son, Nimrod's son. And he went to fight against his father. Because Nimrod was one of the kings. He went to fight his father. That's what... Huh? No, because he... Obviously, he was like a ger.
Yeah.
You know, but he was a very great tzaddik. According to one opinion, he never died. He went alive to Gan Eden.
He's one of the ten.
One of the ten that went alive into Gan Eden. And he didn't die because of his greatness. Now what happened? There's a story like this. There's a whole story in the Gemara, and the story goes like this. How did Avram Avinu fight them all? So it says in the Medrash like this. Avram Avinu picked up dirt and threw it at them, and all the dirt turned into bows and arrows and spears. And therefore, Avram Avinu and Eliezer themselves conquered these four powerful kings that killed all those other kings together. Okay? So it was a mamish, a miraculous thing. Hashem made a miracle. He threw dirt, and it turned into spears. So the Gemara tells a story about Nochem Ish Gamzul. You know, you always say Gamzul, the Tov, everything's good. The Jews wanted to find favor in the eyes of the Roman king. The Roman emperor Jews, and Nochem Ish Gamzul was Rabbi Kiva's Rebbe. One of the rabbis of Rabbi Kiva. So it was the time of the Roman rule. So Nochem Ish Gamzul, the Jews wanted to send a present to the emperor of Rome. So they said, who could we send as a great personality? Nochem. Okay? Why was he called Gamzu? Because he always said Gamzu Latov. Everything is for the good. So he took a box full of gold and diamonds and all expensive things, and they sent them off to the emperor. He stopped at an inn along the way. The innkeeper found out where he's going and what he has in the box. So the innkeeper took out all the jewelry, all the diamonds, and he filled it up with dirt. It's a story in the Gemara. He filled it up with dirt.
Overnight, yeah.
Yeah. And Nochem Ish Gamzu gets up in the morning, he opens the box, he sees it's full of dirt, Gamzu Latovah. It's also good. So he was sent an shlichus, so he took the box and he presented it to the emperor. This is a present from the Jewish people. The emperor opened the box, and he fumed. This, you're making mockery of me, you're sending me dirt. So Hashem said that Eliyahu Navi is one of the king's advisors, and Eliyahu Navi said to the king, obviously the Jews are not going to send you dirt to make fun of you. This must be special dirt. And he said, I remember reading in the Jewish books that when Avraham Avinu went to war with the five kings, this dirt he used and he threw it at them and it turned into spears and bows and arrows, all the war stuff. At that time, the king was fighting a war. So he said, lock him up and let's check it out. They checked it out and they found Taka. They threw the dirt. It turned into arrows and spears and the king won the war. So the king was very happy. It was a wonderful gift he got. So he came back and he rewarded Nochem and Gamzu with a lot of money and he nullified the decrees against the Jews. He was very happy. Nochem Ish Gamzu went back. Remember, he gets supposed to go the same way he went. Comes back to the innkeeper. And the innkeeper, everybody's talking about the miracle that happened. So the innkeeper said, this is my dirt. So the innkeeper filled up a box of dirt. And he came to the emperor to present a gift to the emperor. So the emperor said, one minute, we'll lock him up. We'll see if it works. The next day, he took the dirt. It didn't do anything. So they punished the innkeeper.
Killed him,
punished him, whatever. And Nochem Ish Gamzu was saved. So this is how the Medrash says Avraham Avinu fought this battle, the four kings against the five kings. He actually threw dirt and it turned into spears and killed them all. Okay, why did he stop at Dun? Because eventually the Jews were going to worship idols in Dun. And then because Avraham Avinu foresaw that his descendants are going to worship idols in the area of Dun, so he had no more power, because of the evil that they were going to do. It's waned, because, it's not going to be, because the Jews worshiped idols. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting over here, he writes, Why another reason why they're called Ivrim, or Ram's descendants are called, because they're the only ones who spoke Hebrew. Ivrim's other descendants spoke Aramaic.
That's another reason. Other reason. He brings down also a bunch of other reasons he mentioned. But it's interesting. Avraham Avinu had buddies on at Eshkol and Mamre. Why didn't he take them? They're his buddies on at Eshkol and Mamre. These were his buddies. Vein Bali Bris Avram, it says later. They were his buddies. Why did he take them? So Mepharshim explained, Avram Avinu knew this had to be a miraculous war. There was no way him and Eliezer, or even 318 guys, are going to win these powerful kings, like Nimrod and Kedorlaomer. There was no way he was going to be able to do it. So he knew it was going to be a spiritual war. So he only wanted to take people that he raised in serving God. Other Eshkol and Mamre were people, but they weren't raised by Avraham Avinu in the service of God, and he didn't want to take it. And by the way, the Rabbag mentions, Yelid Beise means these were people that Avraham Avinu raised from birth. Yelid Beise, so their whole life, they were raised in an atmosphere of belief in God, whatever was Judaism at that time. Okay, Okay. Okay, but there, see, the Mepharshim say, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, that he took 318 people, and he took Eliezer, took both, but the other 318 didn't fight. They ran away. So, they said the end result was, Avraham and Eliezer fought to fight themselves, and they won. Okay, leave it here. Okay, that speak, obviously, there's no Sunday night cheer.